coveted intentions. Our hearts speak what's in abundance in here. Now, the easy thing to do is shift what's in abundance. Learn now to fill your heart, mind, and thinking more so on what God says about the situation in your life than what everybody else says, and even how you may feel. You know, and I know our feelings can be fickle. Okay, I'll stop right there. I'll move on to number three. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1 says, in Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel, and the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Did you hear that? Says your prayers, come on, your words and your giving has been received by God as an offering. Understand this, where your words and my words are concerned. They either attract or repel the favor of God. Now, everyone wants the favor of God. But God says, well, the way to really tap into it is to align your mind and your mouth with what I say. Now, this is a case where Cornelius' words now were so effective, watch this, full of life, in agreement with what God says, that God says, not only your giving, but your words are an offering. Your words. Watch this. You and I should be giving God an offering every day. I'm not talking about financial. I'm talking about the words of our mouth. Where the words of our mouth now bring delight unto our Father. And in doing so, it attracts attention. It attracts God's attention to the point now that here now a representative of heaven shows up. Bang, I'm here for you. Man, how would you like that? You know, that, you know, an angel just shows up in your room tomorrow morning and be like, now what you want? I came because, you know, what you said, you know, moved God's heart so much. He sent me on personal assignment. What you want? Our words attract or they repel the favor of God. Then in James chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, it says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Come on now. Mankind, you know, we do all kinds of stuff. Come on, we just, wasn't there just a launch, you know, into space just the other day? You know. I mean, you watch, you know, individuals, you know, and they, you know, will train, you know, elephants, you know, to not crush them. And I've seen the case where a man will go lay on the ground and the elephant will put his foot like, you know, 6 inches above, you know, the man's chest. The man just lays there knowing that I've trained him and this elephant is not going to crush me. You know, that stuff takes more faith than trusting God. But anyway, that's a whole nother issue there. But watch this. But humanity's ability to train things and to subdue things is a part of our DNA. You see it back there in Genesis, you know, chapter 1. But James begins to speak of something here. He says, you know, even with all of the success in training animals and the like, says, keep this in mind. No human being can tame the tongue. Whew. Now listen, it didn't say the tongue couldn't be tamed. It just says no human being can do it. So you have to learn how to submit your mouth to God. You got to learn how to submit your thinking, your mind, your will, and your emotions to God. Otherwise, listen, at some point or time, your tongue will take over. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many folks did that happen to, because I already know it didn't happen. Listen, it's happened to all of us at some point in time. So you have to learn how to back up and say, whoa, wait a minute. I can't do this in my own strength. See, society, you know, will try to teach us that, well, you know, you can control, you know, yourself. Well, you can control yourself. You can discipline yourself. But watch this. When it comes to the tongue, God says your control is only going to be able to go so far. There's going to be something. It's going to be something that winds up now causing you to compromise your tongue. Now watch this. Some people will say, I can sense it. Some people say, yeah, no. I just don't say nothing in those moments. Oh, that's wrong too. See, if you're not speaking the life, God doesn't want you to be silent. He wants you to allow your mouth to go in his direction. So I get it. Sometimes we're just like, you know what? You want to give a person a piece of your mind. Now, the question you got to ask yourself is, what is that piece doing in your mind? Anyway, we'll leave that alone. Come on, because that piece that you're going to give them, you already know that one. That piece didn't come from heaven. So we'll have this tendency sometimes where it's just like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. Come on now. Some of us were taught this whole lesson. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Well, okay, watch this. That's a nice starting point. But at some point, what God is expecting for from us is that we will say the good. Not just simply settle in on being silent. Like, well, I'm not going to say anything. I ain't got nothing good to say. Come on, I've counseled people and, you know, so on and so forth. I ain't going to say nothing because I ain't got nothing good to say. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, your silence is not helping your union right now. They need to hear some good from you. And listen, and the good that you speak is not based upon other people's behavior. It's based upon what God has said. I love the fact that, you know, we're singing about the fact that, you know, his name is victory, and God's given us victory, and he sees us victorious, even though we may have jacked stuff up. God begins to speak what he sees, even if what he sees is not lining up with what he knows it's going to become. God speaks life. Oh, let's keep reading this. It is a restless evil, talking about the tongue, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Isn't that interesting? It says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, my sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Come on, let it be a continuous flow of fresh water. Fresh water. Fresh water. Okay, maybe you need a moment. Come on, everyone say a moment. Maybe you just need a moment to be silent for a minute, but then you got to come back and let the fresh water flow. Come on, you can't plug it up. You got to let the fresh water flow. It's what God has called us unto. And here James is just making observations. He said, listen, I know how it works. You know, here it is. We're lifting up our hands unto God. Oh, you are amazing. Oh, Lord, thank you. You are alive. Yes, we bless you. We love you. And then somebody does something, and we go completely off. And God is saying, you do realize they're created in my image. God says, you do realize how hypocritical that looks. That you're going to worship me, but then you're going to curse those who are made in my image. He says, that's not what I've called you unto. So the next point is, our words express a blessed mentality or a destructive mindset. Our words express either we are functioning with a blessed mentality or a destructive mindset. Learn to choose life. Let me just say it plainly this way. We cannot say just whatever we want to say and seriously expect God's love to never fail us. You can't just say whatever you want to say And just like, well, God, I don't understand how this happened. What have you been saying? Our works are seeds. And we live in a time still of seed, time, and harvest. Now, if you are looking up now and you're getting a harvest that you don't like, you should probably back up, trace your steps back, and find out what kind of seed have you been planting. Because listen, let's be clear. You don't plant apple seed and get an orange grove harvest. So if we got a harvest that, wait a minute, what's going on here? Let's back up. What have I been saying? What have I been saying? There's a huge move in the church of what I call irresponsible Christianity. Everything is on God. If it's going well, it's God. If it's going bad, well, it's God. It's just God trying to teach you something. It's a huge move. Huge. But God says, no, 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 no. I have given you free will. So you get to choose to cooperate with me or not. And this is a case where we want to learn how to discipline ourselves to always cooperate with him and have a blessed mentality rather than a destructive mindset. Last two, I think. Nope, three. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 23 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Listen, everyone should have faith in God. Wherever you could be on the planet, God wants you to have faith in him. And then Jesus starts to express what this faith kind of looks and sounds like. He says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says, here's our words going again, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have, she will have whatever she says. Listen, our words point to where our life is headed. If you listen to a person long enough, you know where they're going. See, that's why I can tell you right now, Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Say, what you see? What you got? What do you see? I see what God says. I see what God says. Hey, you remember, some of you remember this. Elijah, I believe it is, prophet. And there's been like a three and a half year famine. No rain whatsoever. And the prophet goes up and he's praying. He's talking to God. And watch this. He's calling for the rain now. He's calling for it. And he gets it on the inside. And he tells his servant, says, now, go tell me what you see. Go look at the sky, tell me what you see. You know, he's looking for some rain clouds. Come on, I just declared rain. I'm looking for some rain. Servant goes out, comes back, his master. He's like, I don't see anything. He said, okay, you didn't stay long enough. Go look again. Ah, okay. Come on. Now, I don't see anything. Yeah, well, you still didn't say, stay long enough. Because I know what I said and what God, is now obligated to perform. Come on, not that we control God, but God says, come on now, I function by faith. Faith moves me. Go out there again. And he gets out there, and there's this little bitty cloud, so small that the servant says, it's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. You know how small that got to be in a big old blue sky? It's like, in other words, it's like, it's just some little itty bitty cloud. What difference does that make? And the prophet was like, there it is. Get yourself ready. Let's go, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, praise God. So just because it doesn't look like it, don't allow that to affect your mouth. Just because it doesn't feel like it, don't allow that to affect your mouth. You ought to have a mindset that I hear the sound. I can see the sign of an abundance of rain. Right now, everyone else may not see it. I don't care, but I see it. I see it with the eyes of faith of what Almighty God has said to me. And then you let your mouth stay in that position. And I'm going to tell you, your feelings will fight that. You know, when we were working on this this property just a few months back and the thing like 95% done, you know, so forth, and then things happened, that thing didn't go through. Watch this. I wanted to say some different stuff. Okay, y'all looking at me funny, like, what do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? I have no idea what you're talking about. I looked at that and said, you know what? That doesn't change anything. Only thing that changes now is that there's going to be greater the increase. There's going to be greater the provision, praise God. That's where we stand, praise God. Greater. Come on, somebody say it with me, greater. But the reality I'm just trying to share with you is that, you know, from an emotional standpoint, I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, what? What happened? I mean, you know, that never feels good. But we don't talk from our feelings. We talk from our faith. Please get a hold of that. Number 6, I believe it is. Genesis chapter 17, verse 4 through 6. Man, I love this. God's working with Abraham. He has a covenant for him. He's trying to help Abraham get his mind wrapped around what he has declared and said. And Abraham has been struggling with it. He's Abram still at this point. He's been struggling with it. Anyone ever struggle with what God has said before? Now, if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to come get in the seat with you. Come on, we have all, to some degree, at some point, struggled with what God has said. Here, God does something. He says in chapter 17, verse 4, he says, this is my covenant with you. He's talking to Abram. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. This man is 99 years old. You all would look at me funny if I showed up next week and be like, you know, from now on, I am no longer Anthony Crawford. You all call me. Years old. God speaks to him and says, now I need for you to shift in your thinking. So to help you shift in your thinking, I'm going to help you change how you talk about yourself, how you refer to yourself, and how everyone else refers to you. It says now, what's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations, and I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. Words are used to identify proper identity. God changed Abram's name and got Abram to say something different about himself, and then got his entire household and all his servants to say the same thing. And shortly thereafter, he's 99 now, he's been on a 24-year journey trying to birth God's miracle. God changes his name. He begins to say things different. Everybody in the house says the same thing. Come on, let me say this again. Everybody in the house says the same thing. Here, we're going to practice something. We're going to practice that. We're going to practice it right here. Come on. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Come on. Everybody in the house, everybody online, I want you to say the same thing. 1, 2, 3. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Glory to God. But it's not one time. It's not one time. It's every day. It's all day. Come on now. Every place now that Abram went, now everyone's like, hi, Abraham. Come on, Sarah's like, ooh, you my Abraham. He's like, yeah. I'm the father of a great multitude. I'm not just a good father, what Abraham meant, father of maybe a nation. I'm the father of a great multitude. And everyone, all day long, every day, is saying the same thing. And that sense of identity brought them over into the fulfillment of God's promise. Love never fails, but we got to line our mouth up with it, praise God. The last one is this, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Talking about really what God had done. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. But I love the fact there, what it talks about. The worlds, many translations just simply says this, the universe, or if you're a Marvel fan, the multiverse, was framed by the word of God. Everything finds its shape. It gets its shape. It gets its formation by God's word. God's word spoken from his mouth is what shaped everything. Well, listen, you got to remember that you're created in the image and likeness of God. And God's word that was effective coming out of his mouth is just as effective coming out of your mouth. As you release it by faith. So you need to understand, I need to make sure I'm continuously reminded of that our words shape our life and they frame our day. They shape our life and they frame our day. I went back and pulled up, you know, a confession that we had released in the church years ago. It was called Shaping My Day. Shaping My Day. You know, and the Lord just led me back to it. Said, come on, come back there. Come back there. And every day I want you to shape your day specifically with these words. And begin to say it. Begin to say it. Begin to say it. Begin to say it. What's going on? We shape our life. We frame our day. And pretty much the last statement, you know, in the whole confession is, my day is blessed. There's various elements to it. But the whole thing is to bring us to a place of shaping our day intentionally, calling for the favor and the blessing and increase of Almighty God. You got to call for it, praise God. Your words, it gets God's attention. Yeah. And matter of fact, if you'd like to get a hold of that confession, just talk to one of our leaders. They'll be able to get it, you know, to you. We'll send it over to you. It's a great way to make sure that you're keeping your mind and your mouth right to start off your day. Yeah. So understand this. Discover exactly what God says about you, about your family, about your life, about your boss, your church, your marriage, whatever the case may be. And then discipline yourself, watch this, to only say that. Say those three words with me. Only say that. Find out first what God says. And then watch this. And don't do it in a vacuum just by yourself. Like, okay, I read the Bible and this is what God says. So, okay, that's what I'm going to run with. No. Wait a minute. Submit that to someone else's judgment. See, because you can read in the Bible, just like what we're reading, you know, in the book of Job, even right now. You could read in the Bible, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Don't say that. That's not a covenant expression for you today. It is what Job said. But that ain't what you want to repeat. See, that's why it is important to be in community. See, because by ourselves, we begin to grab hold of stuff and we create all kinds of stuff. Create all types of things. This is how we have such an array of world religions today. Individuals got by themselves. living an ascetic lifestyle and off into a cave by themselves. And then, you know, and then an angel appeared to me and said, you know, recite this. And finally I recited it, and boom, here comes a whole new religion. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, it's okay that you were in the cave. Okay that you believe you had an experience. But now take that and submit that to somebody. That's not what's done a lot of times. Just in case you didn't know, there's a specific world religion that was birthed that way. Let you look into it. All of this, what we talked about today, Palm Sunday reflects it. What we talked about right from the beginning. Rather than people speaking how they felt, speaking the oppression that was going on that they were under, when Jesus shows up riding on a donkey, they begin to say, Hosanna, hail, son of David. Now that was significant, because what they're saying is, this is the man. Come on, this is Neo. Let's put it in Matrix terms. This is it. This is the one. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, I'll do this, and then we'll close. You fast forward, though, and they lost it. Because many of those same ones who said, Hosanna, blessed is he who came in the name of the Lord, are the same ones that when Jesus was held by the high priest were saying, crucify him. People will flip on you. Okay, I'm going to move on over here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Please catch a hold of this, and we're in. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others. Come on now. In others, in conversation. Not put them down, not cut them out. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not put them down, not to cut them out. Not to cut them out. Be gracious. Hey, I'm going to bring this home to my students. And I'm going to share an example of talking to, you know, a couple of children. And they have a group chat. And different things are going on, you know, in the chat. And they're just like, you know what, we're going to kick this person out of the chat. Don't look like that, y'all. Had some temptation like that, too. Come on, you ever had that temptation? Like, I'm not dealing with them anymore. And my encouragement was just simply this. Don't do it. Don't take that spirit of things. That just because someone is not doing everything that you are pleased with and that you like, that now you're going to make the decision, we're going to be done with you. Because listen, let me speak to my students and let me speak to everyone. Seed time and harvest. You treat others that way, you're going to find that somebody's going to come treating you that way. And then you look up and just like, they treated me wrong. Well, what have you been saying and what have you been doing? How have you been treating others? Father, help us in this season to embrace your love. To the point where we encounter it every day and we allow it to transform our mind and our thinking and the words from our mouth. Father, let our mouths be a spring of fresh water. Always gushing life, Father. Help us to be disciplined to learn further and greater what it is you say about every aspect of our lives. And may we then be courageous enough to only say that. So we thank you, sir. We love you. And we are looking forward to celebrating you like never before in this Passion Week as we culminate with Resurrection Sunday. We give you all of our love, all of our faith in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Please, head still bowed, eyes closed in prayer just for a moment. Listen closely. In order for this love to work, and watch this, in order for your words to work, it comes by way of connection. It's almost like, you know, some kind of electronic device. You know, your TV is not going to work until you plug it in. It's got all kind of potential, but until you plug it in and tap into that power connection, it never displays what it was designed for. Well, see, that's your life and that's mine. There's great display that God has designed you for. But you got to plug in. You got to plug in and connect with that power source. You got to connect with him in relationship. Not religion, in relationship. And this has nothing to do with how perfect you may think you are right now or perfect you need to be. That's not a prerequisite to connecting to the power. The prerequisite is that you surrender all. You come to him saying, you know, God, I trust you. And listen, it's an ever-growing process. I've been living a life like this now for decades, and I'm still growing. I'm still growing. And anyone tells you that they're not, I'm telling you they're being very dishonest. And if they're not growing, maybe they are being honest, but that means something's wrong. Because we always keep growing with God. So don't feel like you got to be perfect. Don't feel like, well, you just don't know what I did last night or what I just did this morning. Look, God's not moved by any of that. But in this moment, what he's just asking for is that you surrender all. That's it. Now, it's real simple. I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you can plug in today. And then once you plug in, only thing I ask, this is all I ask, don't unplug. If you stay plugged in, you'll find this is the best life ever. So I want to ask this. Everyone in-house and online as well, wherever you may be, lift up two hands under heaven. This is where help comes from. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you again for your amazing love and giving to me your best, your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king, my everything. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. Come on, someone just take 5 seconds just to honor God right there. Glory and honor to your wonderful name, Father. We bless you. We honor you. We worship you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer out of the sincerity of your heart, whether you're present or whether you're online, I want you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something, please. Right there online in particular, you'll see a number come up on the screen. Text the word decided to that number. We will send you an electronic link to a devotional just to help you in the decision that you've made here today. And just let us know so we can know how to be praying for you. Or you can just type the word decided in the chat and we'll have someone send you over the link for that devotion as well. If you are present and you'd like to get a hold of one of those devotionals, we have some printed copies available. So as you're exiting, just ask one of the leaders there, you know, at the steps, and they'll be glad to put one into your hands. God loves you. This is a year of miraculous interventions in your life. Come on, say it with me. Miracles, signs, wonders happen to me. I'm a miracle. I'm a sign. I'm a wonder going somewhere to bless others in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, thank you again. We declare your supernatural blessing to rest upon us all, Father. And may this week and all year long and all our life long, may we line our words up with yours and speak life and not death. We declare it so. in Jesus' wonderful name. If you agree, shout hallelujah. 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 Be blessed. We'll see you on next Sunday, Resurrection Day.